Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Who has loved this In My Feelings sermon series? It has been so challenging, and today is going to be no different. So right now, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, hey, this message is for you. This message is for you. And then I need you to look at me, and I need you to say, but it's for me even more. Yep. And there's no room for judgment. You don't get to get in your car and be like, you heard that message, right? Right? Because you need to work on, there's no room for that today. The enemy doesn't get to do that to us today. We are talking about loving your enemies today. And if you were here for Pastor Paula's message last week, this is just a continuation of what Jesus is talking about. What was your message called? Cage the Mama Bear. All about keeping your feelings in check. And we're talking about loving your enemies today. I'm going to just open up with the verse, and we're going to jump right in. So Matthew 5, 43 through 45 says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and good, and he sends rain to the just and unjust alike. Man, that is a hard verse, Jesus. I'm a Bible nerd. I went to Bible school. So we're going to look at the Greek version of this word enemy that says love your enemies. We're going to look at what that word is in the Greek. I think I have it in a slide. But that word is ektros, and it means hated, odious, hateful, hostile, hating, and opposing one another. We're going to just jump right in, guys, because I believe God has something so challenging for us, and I want us to hear everything that he has. Guys, hate is a generational curse. Hate is something that is passed down from generation to generation. We see this in the Bible. Haman and Amalekites versus the Jews that we see in Esther when Haman is against Mordecai and trying to get all the Jews killed. We see it, the Jews versus Samaritans, which is racial. We see it in the Philistines versus the Israelites, which is religion. And how much do we see it in our world today? It's everywhere that we see. Hate is a learned behavior. It's a consequence of the original sin. Let's be real. Hate blinds us to reality. Hate blinds us to who God created us to be. It causes us to lash out. It causes us to do things. And we don't often even remember what we did, what we said, how we did it after the fact. So when things get called to order, we're like, we never did that? We never did. Me? But let me tell you, hate is a symptom of a really deep root that blinds us to the things that actually happen. 1 John 2, 9 through 11 says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister in the darkness walks around in the darkness. They don't know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. If you don't know that people are listening and watching you, I promise you, if you are open about being a Christian, they are. If we want change, it starts with us. Parents, if we want change, it starts with us. Pastor Paula said it last week, kids are watching everything that you do. I'm a Gen Z. You want to know why there's not very many Gen Z in the church? It's because hypocritical. Church is viewed as hypocritical. People come to church, be here for 2 hours, and they go home, and nothing has changed at home. They're cussing people out. They're talking about people poorly behind their back. They don't get involved. Nothing has changed except I checked off the box that I've been at church. Do I have any Gen Z and millennials in the room right now? Yeah. Okay. Hey, church, anyone that does, keep your hands raised, guys. Anyone who is not hands raised, can you look around and see where we're at? I'm looking at Gen Z and millennials is 43 to 10 years old. If your hand is not raised, I need you to look around and find people to mentor. Our Gen Z and our millennials need to see people who are real about their faith. If we want to see, I believe that millennials and Gen Zs, God is going to use to bring the biggest revival we have seen. But, yeah. But if they don't know how to live out their faith from people that have shown them that they can stand, from people that can show them how we walk it out, God's going to have to use someone else. He doesn't want to, but he'll have to. Gen Z and millennials, it's time to rise up. I really, really, truly believe that this is our time. God has called us for such a time as this. Yeah, and I'll go back to that in a little bit, but that's okay. Hate is learned behavior, and to make a difference in our community, in our country, in our world, it starts with how we treat people in our homes, in our church, in the grocery store. No matter how we are feeling, because our feelings are just guardrails, they're not the truth, and what might have been done to us. Because we are called to turn the other cheek. We don't react. Here's the reality. You will make enemies. Adi, do you have your water? Sorry, guys. All right. You'll make enemies. 2 Timothy says in 3:12, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. We see this throughout history. We see this through many different ethnic and religious groups. We have to do everything in our power to keep peace. We do. But we have to understand that not everyone will see eye to eye, and not everyone will like the fact that we are Christians. And that has to be okay. You love them. You show them Jesus regardless of how you treat or how they have treated you, and you move along. You don't stay there. You don't try to fight. You don't try to prove anything to them. You say, you know what? Jesus loves you. I love you, and I'm out. We do this by creating boundaries. Boundaries are good. Yep. Boundaries are hard. Boundaries aren't made to control other people. Boundaries are made to contain self-control in our own selves. Boundaries are your non-negotiables in relationships so that you can stay the healthiest version of yourself. If there are people that are causing you not to be the healthiest version of yourself, I love you so much. This relationship is not good for me, so I have to go. You love God and love people best when you have boundaries in place. We have to recognize who we're fighting against. That's point number two. If you've been around Hope City for any length of time, you've heard us quote Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The enemy has done such a good job of convincing us that we're fighting each other. Not only as Christians, but we're fighting other human beings. Our job as Christians is to show, the enemy has convinced us that our job as Christians is to show everyone else where they're sinning, where they've gone wrong, and we're responsible to bring the shame, condemnation, guilt to the areas of sin that we see in other people in order to bring them to Jesus. Oh, I'm just telling you so that you know that Jesus loves you. I'm just telling you so that you can get closer to Jesus. Listen, Jesus called us to be fishers of men, not the cleaners of men. It's not our job to tell people what they're doing right or wrong. Jesus asked us to love people. We love people the best when we have no, okay, we're moving along. Moving along. All right. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Guys, I'm using the Bible a lot because I want you to know that these are Jesus's words. They're not mine. This is what Jesus has called us to do. Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." For too long, the church has misrepresented the heart of Jesus when it comes to sin. We have shoved shame, guilt, condemnation to areas of sin when Jesus wants to bring conviction in love and out of relationship with the goal to be in closer relationship with his friends. Father God longs to be a loving father that brings correction through the Holy Spirit that will not harm, but will bring them closer to his heart. He is wanting a closer relationship with his sons and his daughters. Jesus showed us the perfect picture of this. In the New Testament, there's a woman who gets caught in the act of adultery. And in the Old Testament law, that is a punishable offense of death when you get caught in adultery. So the religious leaders brought her out naked, threw her to the ground, and picked up, it's called stones, but like big enough stones to kill this woman. And cocked back, ready to throw, right? And Jesus got down on the ground in the same dust that this woman was created out of, with redemption in his mind, and started drawing a line. And he said, "You without sin may cast the first rock." And one by one, the rocks start dropping. But church, we have become too comfortable with rocks in our hands when Jesus has called us to be in the dirt. Too long. It's time that we recognize that if you bring up anything, first, if it's out of anything but love, you're in the wrong. Second, you have absolutely no place to point out anything in anyone's life if you are not in relationship with them. It's time that we, as people who are striving to become more like Jesus, get in the dust. We drop the rocks. We are not above being in the dirt. And lastly, we have to prioritize salvation over revenge. Romans 12, 17 through 21 says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It's mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Pastor Paul used this verse last week too. Our hearts have to be focused on doing whatever it takes to get the most people to heaven with us. It has to be, or else we're doing it wrong. It has to be. If we're focused on getting revenge for the things that have been done to us, we have missed the message of Jesus. Obviously, Jesus would never ask us to do something he didn't do himself. Listen to me. When Jesus was sitting, being judged, ready to die, and the crowd was choosing between him and Barabbas, and they chose to let Barabbas go over an innocent man that had done nothing but bring freedom, bring life, bring all of this stuff. How easy would it have been? Well, you have no idea what I'm about to do for you. And everyone who voted for Barabbas, you're out. Man, how easy would it have been for Jesus to tell the man that was whipping him, you have no chance to be in heaven, just so you know. You see these scars on my back? They're from you. You see that scar on the side of my the side of me? That's from you, and you will not be seeing me in heaven. How easy would it have been for him to just walk away? Jesus is grace. Jesus is forgiveness. And that's what he's called us to do. When people wrong us, we are called to have grace. We are called to forgiveness. Our actions have to match our end goal. If people can't see Jesus in everything that you do, there has to be a time. Right now, you need to look inside and say, what is not lining up with Jesus in my heart? We will mess up. That's not a question. We are not perfect, and we will not show Jesus every time. That's not part of the question. The question is how we're willing to deal with messing up. How are you willing to deal with saying, I am so sorry. I represented Jesus so wrong right then. Leviticus 19:18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. Man, what would it look like if every person that you came in contact with, you loved as you love yourself? That you were selfless in the way that you loved. You know, this week, as I was preparing for this, God really told me that it wasn't just a message that I was bringing, but he was going to activate things in people. And for too long, you guys, the enemy has been able to keep his people, God's people, on the sidelines using hatred, using anxiety, using depression, using social media. How much hate does social media breed? How much envy does social media breed? What if we could change? What if Hope City could change? And instead of this place just being a hospital, it became a training ground for God's people to rise up. God, I really believe that God is raising the end time church. And I don't know if you guys have read in the end times and in Revelation, there will be the biggest revival that we have seen yet. And if we are not suited up, if we do not allow God to build up our armor, we will miss out. God has called us to the battlegrounds, guys. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Avengers Endgame. But, you know, they're sitting there, Thor and Captain America and Iron Man are sitting there looking at their enemy who outnumbers them by probably hundreds of thousands of people, okay? And all of a sudden, in their little earpiece, they hear, Captain America hears, hey, Cap, to your left. And their people are showing up. Hundreds and thousands of people. I always ask God, like, I want to be a part of something like that. I am a part of something like that. I am. And for a long, long time, there has been very few people standing on the front lines of our battleground. Church, it's time to rise up. Jesus has told us who he has called us to be. If we are not a people of love, we cannot stand on that battleground. If we are not a people of forgiveness, we cannot stand on that battleground. If we are not a people of grace, we cannot stand on that battleground. God's heart is all of those things, and that is what he's asking of his people. Today, I'm going to ask you to do something really challenging. I have some homework for you. I'm pulling a Pastor Paula up here. We are addicted to our devices. We are addicted to our devices. And that is one of the key ways that the enemy has kept us on the sidelines, has kept us bound. And so, church, this week, I'm going to challenge you for 1 hour a day, turn off your devices. Turn off your cell phone, turn off your TVs, turn off whatever. Sit in silence, which is hard. Silence is hard. Read your Bible. Talk to Jesus about areas that you have to work on to look more like him. I believe that God is getting ready to activate his believers, but we have to put ourselves in the place to be activated. That's right. 1 hour. It's not a lot. It feels like a lot, but it's not a lot. And if you allow God to speak, I promise it will feel like no time at all. This morning, if you're like, hey, Pastor Avey, I want to be able to do that, but I don't even know what the love of Jesus looks like. I haven't even accepted him into my own heart. With every head bowed this morning, I want to give you a chance to get to know my Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand. Yeah. All right. And second, if you're ready to say, you know what, I'm done with hatred. You know what, I'm done. I'm ready to put the rock down. I'm ready to be who God has called me to be. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I want to pray for you guys. I'm standing with you.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.